What a great time to be a Giant, be a fan of the Giants.
Like, we have something going here. We're building something special, and, you know, you can see it from the outside out, and inside it's even more beautiful.
Reflecting on everything that got me here, just to see that uniform, and, you know, I watched, that's the team I watched the most growing up because my dad was a Giants fan, so.
Once a Giant, always a Giant. For me, it's only a Giant.
Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of All In with Art Stapleton, the New York Giants podcast brought to you by NorthJersey.com and The Record. I'm your host, Art Stapleton, and it is Friday of Super Bowl weekend. The Chiefs, the 49ers, Super Bowl Sunday in Las Vegas. A premise that, about 5 years ago, probably would never have been believed. Yet, the NFL has converged on Las Vegas, and Allegiant Stadium was there earlier this year. Great sight for the NFL's biggest game, really the biggest game in the world outside of the World Cup, which, by the way, is going to be played at MetLife Stadium in the summer of 2026. Have a little time before we get to that. There's obviously the debate over the turf field inside MetLife and the fact that the Giants and Jets and MetLife Stadium have agreed to FIFA's demands that in order to have any World Cup games, the stadium must have natural grass. So it'll be interesting to see how MetLife transforms. I've been told that there will be renovations to the stadium, not to the extent that some of you wish, but maybe some seats in the lower bowl removed in order to be able to expand the playing field, to have grass on the field. Now that grass may be just rolled over the field turf that's there, or maybe in 2 years the Giants and Jets will agree with the stadium to go all grass and tear everything up and do it all over again. Seemingly that's the way the NFL Players Association wants it to go, but between now and then there's a lot that needs to happen, especially when you're a multi-purpose stadium like MetLife is. You have two teams playing, so they do not get weeks off during the year. It's very rare to have a weekend at MetLife Stadium where neither the Jets or the Giants are playing. So that all factors in. But yeah, World Cup coming to MetLife Stadium, pretty cool. The reality is that there has been one playoff game in the history of MetLife Stadium. That's from 2010. Let me say that again. One playoff game involving the Jets or the Giants since the stadium opened in 2010, and that was Giants-Falcons in 2011, the wild card game. Other than that, it was the Super Bowl and Super Bowl 48, and that's it. So the building is starving for big games. Obviously, the World Cup final qualifies. And, you know, they have had big concerts, obviously. Taylor Swift, Bruce Springsteen, Paul McCartney, and many others. But as far as the football goes, that stadium has not had big football games, as many as they envisioned back when it was built. So we'll see if the World Cup can raise the bar for the Jets and Giants and get back to where they want to be with consistent playoff games year in and year out. So it's Super Bowl weekend, so you kind of think of big picture. And what I thought was fun is that the WWE, I am a fan. I've been a lifelong fan. Kind of dipped out for a while and then came back in recent years. Just kind of following along and, you know, watching the premium live events, used to be pay-per-views, and, you know, catching every week, you know, Raw or SmackDown every week. And the reason I bring that up is because on Thursday night in Las Vegas, they had the WrestleMania kickoff show, WrestleMania coming to Lincoln Financial Field, which Giants fans are well aware of that building. I've been there many times, seen Bruce there, and seen many a football game in that building. A lot of times I've seen the Giants lose. Was there when they won back in 13. But the reason I bring that up is Thursday I also had the opportunity. You know, it wasn't to the level of Roman Reigns and The Rock and Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, but I was there in Rockland County for the first kind of walkthrough at what is now called Cloverfield in Pomona, New York, with Dexter Lawrence and Brandon Jacobs getting ready for Dex's celebrity softball game in May. And I got a chance to spend a couple hours with those guys as they walked through the stadium, kind of went through the particulars that really the how an event like this gets put together. Joe Ruback, license plate guy, is kind of one of the point men involved. The town of Ramapo in New York is involved because they run the stadium. And then obviously Dex and Brandon have their input. So it was kind of fun to be with them. So on today's show, I have my interview with Dexter and Brandon. We were in a suite at the stadium and kind of ran through it. There were other people in the room at the time, but I think you'll enjoy the interview with Brandon and Dex. I tried giving you a little feel for the game itself, but also for the NFL and what happens when, you know, a legend like Brandon Jacobs, who has two Super Bowl rings and has gotten to the mountaintop not once but twice with the Giants. What's it like when he's kind of forming a relationship with Dexter Lawrence, who is clearly a centerpiece of the current Giants, and things have not gone well for the Giants for the most part since Dex has been here. There have been a lot of ups and downs, a lot more growing pains for the team than there were with Brandon Jacobs. You know, what do they talk about? How do you kind of connect? What's that like? So I think you'll get a good feel for that for the two of them. Talk to Dex a little bit about new defensive coordinator Shane Bowen. Mentioned Andre Patterson as well, coming back as defensive line coach. That makes Dexter very happy and satisfied. And really, what's Dex thinking coming off of a year where things did not go well? A year after they had gone to the playoffs, he got his big contract. Obviously, it was through no fault of Dexter Lawrence this past year. But I think you'll enjoy the insight that Dex provided, but also the back and forth with Dexter and Brandon. And that's always a big event there. I'll have stuff on my social media. If you're in the area, it's certainly a worthy, the value. I don't know how much the tickets are, but they're usually reasonable. And it's just a fun event. If you're a Giants fan, it's kind of hard to find another place where you're going to be able to see as many former and current players there. Now, it's not billed as an autograph event, but I can tell you that the players go into the stands, they will pose for pictures, and it's a pretty cool night. It's always a good thing for the media because it's our opportunity to be able to talk to many, many players from Giants past and present. And so you can bet I will be there, and we will try to do some things with All In that night. And who knows, maybe even a live show that night if we can pull it off. It's a Saturday in May. I believe it's May 18th. But that stuff will be on social media and on my posts on NorthJersey.com when we get that together. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the interview with Brandon and Dexter, and then I'll come back and talk about kind of the state of affairs with the Giants right now, some promotions for the guys who are up for coordinator spots from Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, and this organization. And we'll talk about that after the interview with Dex and Brandon. So without further ado, here's my interview with Brandon and Dexter. And I didn't want to go in and edit it all, but there is a moment you'll hear when someone is leaving the room, someone who's involved in the group on the tour, thanking Brandon and Dexter. Just bear with me. That's the way that that kind of played out. I didn't want to stop and start the interview and get too much of the editing process. Wanted to, at least for our producer, Paul Wood, try to just roll it through and let it go and just kind of give you a feel for everybody kind of sitting around. That's kind of how this interview took place. So here's Dexter Lawrence, Brandon Jacobs, getting ready for the Dexter Lawrence Celebrity Softball Game featuring Brandon Jacobs on May 18th in Pomona, New York.
What's this like set up for the game? And, you know, what does it mean to you to have your name?
I remember coming out my rookie year and never thought that I would actually be leading it. So it's special, you know, just for a good cause. And I mean, you can't really beat a celebrity softball game, so that's always fun. And, you know, to do it with Brandon, that special, a legend like him, it just means a lot.
Do you, when you go into something like this, I mean, do you think back through your journey to get to this point? Like, is this kind of one of those things where you always looked at guys who were those guys, right? Mm-hmm. Guys who had celebrity softball games, even when you were a rookie, mm-hmm. you were here. Does it kind of represent something else for you personally to kind of see how important this is for you now to kind of build something like this?
Yeah, I say it's a stepping stone to, you know, building my own foundation and building whatever else I have planned. So just to learn from Joe how to, you know, operate it and, you know, just know what you want to do and, you know, put things together, put a team together. And So that's how I'm kind of viewing this as. It's obviously special just to be a part of this.
You know, it's kind of funny, when you were here as a rookie, it was probably, you know, it was Landon's guys and Brandon's guys, but now it's going to be Dex's guys and Brandon's guys. Mm-hmm. When you guys come back in the spring and you kind of get in the locker room, are you looking kind of forward to that, to kind of seeing your guys now, you know, kind of putting together your team to come here?
Yeah, I'm doing some good recruiting, make sure some good guys get out here. We got a little bit of experience of catching and hitting the ball. So that's obviously special. You know, it's obviously the competitiveness is going to come out a lot with, you know, with a lot of alpha males, a lot of dudes out there. So it's going to be exciting.
Is that fun for you to look at that, or are you not really, do you consider yourself not a softball guy? How are you as far as a player?
I think I'm versatile in my talents. You know, I don't limit myself from doing much. You know, I got a year under my belt of baseball, so, and I watched a lot of softball.
When did you play baseball?
Probably like fifth grade.
Yeah, fifth grade.
Yeah.
What position?
I was first base, the best one out there, too.
When you guys are doing this, kind of preparing, and you and Brandon are kind of getting closer and doing it, is that kind of, you know, is that fun as well, knowing that, you know, you get to kind of bring generations together for
this team? The process of getting everything together and, you know, getting sponsors and having meetings, and I say that's not too fun. But the overall, you know, the thing that comes out of it is beautiful. So, you know, it's all worth it.
What are some of the things you mentioned getting your foundation together? What are some of the causes that are important to you?
Obviously, low poverty areas, single parent homes. My stepdad had an enlarged heart, so things like that. That I'm really trying to find my place in, for real, but those things are my interest.
Is that hard to kind of work your way through deciding? Because I've talked to guys about when you're putting together your foundation, you have a lot of causes. You want to do so much for so many.
Right.
And then trying to figure out, okay, why is this important to me?
I don't think you limit yourself to whatever your cause is. It can be more or less than however you want it, for real. It's just, you know, just the process of going about it and, you know, learning how to get it started.
So as comfortable as you are as a baseball player with your fifth grade experience, mm-hmm. would you be much more comfortable if you get this guy Jacobs to take a football, and you get on the other end, and it's basically, you know,
Oklahoma.
Get past this line.
Yeah, see, with me, I got to go through somebody first to get him.
Absolutely. So. Like, you just give him one more shot. I got to catch him getting off the block. That's how it works.
Brandon, when you look at what this game is and what it has become, to be a part of this now with Dex, and you've obviously watched his career, and now, you know, you guys are Clemson boys now, I guess, with your son committing there. What is this like for you to kind of be a part of this with the next generation of guys?
It's great, man. You know, it's always good to now see, you know, number one, you know, bringing the guys I played with back, you know, because they all going to come back for it. And just to get us back together, and then to have a chance to get around the current players and just talk ball and just life and what comes from what we do, you know, just being around, man. And I, you know, obviously the competitive nature that's going to come with it, us as athletes, that's going to come out. So I always look forward to, you know, to have an opportunity to get out there with the younger guys and playing and just talking ball for real, man, because obviously, you know, the eras are different and things have changed a lot throughout football from the time when we played to now. So it's always good to, you know, just to be out around them.
When you guys are together and kind of, you know, looking, putting things together, he said he had his 1 year as a baseball player. What's your experience like in this game? I can't remember if, you know, you were – well, out here knocking him over the fence or not.
Oh, man, I'm a world-class athlete, baby. You know, that's number one. You know, there's not a lot of people can do what I did. You know what I'm saying? So I can figure it out. Man, I've always had fun. Like, honestly, I have never came out here to be this big softball ace. I tried to hit off the professional pitcher. She came close to hitting me with the ball.
That's right. She threw hard.
I never stood up there again. You know, I never stood up there again. So I was amazed at how fast the ball got to me. But everything's an art. Everybody's good at what they do in their respective sport for a reason, which makes them professionals. But just for us not being professional and not having as much experience in this, which makes this so much more fun, because we're just here and we playing ball and we like, you know, I want to stand up there and see Dexter bat like I want to stand up there and see anybody else bat. I'm going to say, man, I want to see how this big trucker going to hit the ball. I want to see how he's going to swing his bat. Is he going to be stiff with it? Like, I'm looking like that. That's what I want to do. I want to watch that. So it's always good to be able to come and watch. And for me, number one, from what I looked at from the end of the season with the team and coming forward into next year, I think we're going to have a much better season next year, you know, because I think we're hitting the ground running with a little bit more momentum. So to start that, you know, kind of us being like fellowshipping together to send them off into their season, and I think next year going to be much better than what we've had in the past with, you know, with the team. So to be able to talk about that, you know, as well. So we also, as the older guys, we also looking forward to seeing them go out there playing next year. And it's easy to say because the Super Bowl hadn't got here yet, but I think we're going to have a much more successful season next year as with them. So
when you see the Super Bowl getting ready to go, you were just at the Pro Bowl. I know there's a time to decompress and try to get away. How long does it take for that competitive juice to start flowing again to kind of get ready for the season?
I think it's been different every year. This year, after last season, I've been wanting to get out of there as early as I could. Just because, like Brandon said, like, we know what it should have been this year. You know, we can talk about what else, but at the same time, like, you just know, you just feel something special about to happen, and you just feel the energy and all those things. So I began out to it a little bit earlier this year, so I'm excited.
Already, huh?
Just a little bit. Just, you know, just maintenance, just getting some sweat in and stuff.
You guys have obviously some changes. Your defensive coordinator is going to be a new guy. Have you had that opportunity to get a chance?
I haven't. I've been running all over.
Are you eager? I mean,
yeah. I text them, and a couple guys told me they talked to them. They liked them, so
no breaking down film yet of what he did in Tennessee, I would imagine.
Not yet. Probably when I call him.
I would think Simmons is a guy you might want to reach out to at some point. Right.
Great to see you again.
Good to see you as well.
Lovely to meet you both.
Yes,
looking you forward to this. Joe, this place, he takes care of everything. It's going to be a great event. I love the camaraderie, you two. It's going to be good. So, thank you for everything. It was lovely
Thanks
to meet you.
Thank you.
We'll take care of you.
Is it tough? You've been through change. I mean, it seems like your entire career there. Yeah. When you look at change and what you guys have done, tough to see change again and having a defensive coordinator leave the building?
It's something that I'm used to, but I don't like being used to. For me, I take it as a challenge. This guy, he didn't draft me. This guy, you know, so for me, it's a challenge that I want to continue to prove who I am and who I've been through my career so far to him and to whoever new is in the building. I'm excited for that. You know, like I said, we just text. I haven't been on the phone with him yet.
Yeah.
Maybe that's playing a little hardball or something. But, you know, we'll see.
His part or your part?
My part.
But you texted with him or just
I texted him. I texted him.
It's got to be good, though, to have Dre coming back, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Last thing would be just the I always love seeing the generations kind of get together and the way it is. And for you, when these guys come back, I know they're probably not all wearing their rings, but, you know, that night always represents, you know, what could be the idea of the potential of where you want to be and the standard. Do you feel that when you guys come here?
No, for sure.
Do you almost feel like you want to raise the standard to get to where they were?
Or even when they come back and talk to the team, things like that. It's good to learn to know, like, what it took for them to win those rings. You know what I mean? What it took for them to – how did they handle each other in the locker room? How did they handle each other on the practice field? What did they do off the field, outside the building? Things like that, that camaraderie brings a team together. So it's good to hear those lessons and learn and see how to operate.
I'll let you finish it off. I asked him about the idea of, you know, the younger generation now looking at you guys and getting motivation. When you come back and you see these young guys, you're watching him on tape, your juices get flowing now. It's still saying, you know what, I wish I could be out there with these guys a little bit.
The crazy thing is, for us, we're looking at a different athlete now than what we were out there now. And we come back and look at them like, man, boys, just huge. Like, they some big old boys out there, like, you know, and we looking on to it, like, you know, just the way the football is being played now. I mean, we always enjoy, like, being around them. And yes, me and Dexter were just talking about this outside. Yeah, we won the Super Bowl 2 times, which is a great accomplishment, you know, but we didn't do it in a dominating fashion. You know, we was 10-6 and 9-7 in both seasons. You know, we just turned it on. We wasn't as disciplined as a team that people thought we were. We had Coach Coughlin, and he was a disciplined guy. But when we wanted to be, when we wanted to play, we played. When we didn't want to play, we didn't play, and that was the result. So I'm telling him, like, no matter what type of team or what type of season that they have, they still one step away from being to finding out that switch. Mm-hmm. And turn it on, which is why you got to line up and play the game every down, every opportunity you get the right way, because that one time, that one switch can be that switch, could be the switch that you can keep up and keep on for 4 or 5 weeks straight. That's enough to make it to the Super Bowl. So you just never know really when it is that you know that it happens. For us, it happened twice, and when it happened, we turned it on and we realized, like, we're not supposed to be here, like, anyway. So what harm is it to win? So we just kept going and just kept playing. So, I mean, they could have went the season that they had. They could have got 2 more wins this year, and they could have been in that very same position.
Yeah,
you know, and we would be sitting here talking about something totally different now. You know?
We wouldn't be here because we'd all be in Vegas.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So
I just pushed the meaning back a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just, you know, it's always that one thing that you hit that in a stride. Like for us in 2007, the Patriots was undefeated, and they came in here, and we gave them a run for their money. We should have beat them. But that gave us the confidence that we needed, and we knew that they didn't want to see us again because we played them tougher than anybody. You know, in 2012, we played the in 2011, we played the Patriots in Foxborough, Yeah. You know, they weren't as good, but we dominated them. The score didn't show dominating score, but we dominated them throughout the whole game.
Didn't have half your offense, too.
No, we didn't. And we had tons of penalties and turnovers, and we still dominated the game. So when we got into the playoffs, we won a division that year. We beat Dallas at the end of the season. Then we had the Falcons that come in here, and, you know, week one of the playoffs, we dominated them. And it was just like we felt different then after the first run. It was pretty much just, you know, a lot of the same guys that were, you know, that were on the team. So it's just that one time, that one blink of my eye that you get to turn it on, and you never know when that is. So every time you blink, you got to take advantage of it every time, because you never know what that one blink can start. So
when you hear that, does that kind of get you going? I mean, you said you're already going, but when you hear that, you almost...
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just reminds me of, you know, a message that I teach, like, you just got to go. You give it your all every play. Give it your all, whatever you're doing. Like, don't take a break. Like, and that's why I try to represent through my play, just me going all the time. Whenever I'm on the field, just go, go, go. Because, like you said, you never know what play is going to be to turn either that game around or the season.
Well, there's a big game coming up, and it's not the one in Vegas. It's you guys in this stadium, and
it's gonna be fun.
I guess it's about 3 months, right?
It's gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to it. You know, when I heard we was gonna do it again, it made me happy, because that's what, 4 years, 5 years. It's been kind of like people been asking about it, and it became a big thing, you know, for the fans. You know, I would like to always, like, as we go, and we've been trying to get in contact with people to try to make this thing that's like the current Giants and the former Giants versus the current Jets and the former Jets. Like, here, like, I think that would be a much bigger and a much more fun. You know, we have fun now, but I think it would really turn into like that, like, let's do this shit. You know, like,
I guess it's on Joe. It's on Joe, but it's also on you guys, the relationships, you know.
So if anybody that's going to sit and read this article from the Jets, line that shit up. Let's do it.
No doubt.
All right, fellas. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks to Dexter Lawrence and Brandon Jacobs and Joe Ruback, license plate guy, for kind of being the go-between, and also, you know, the man behind the game. He's not the name behind the game, but he's the man behind the game for the celebrity softball game. And it's always a fun time. It's always been. I've been going since the first one. They've had to take a little bit of a hiatus. It was obviously the Landon Collins game. And then Landon ended up signing in Washington. So they had one final hurrah with Landon as a member of the Commanders. Well, then the football team. And then with the pandemic, they had to take a couple of years off, but now they're coming back with Dex as the front man. Brandon Jacobs obviously is a good foil, because he's got the connections with the Super Bowl teams 42 and 46. And, you know, everybody loves Brandon. And so he can bring those players into town. And then Dex will be responsible for stacking his roster with the current Giants. And I don't envision many Giants saying no to Dexter Lawrence, so we'll see how that plays out. But you know, for all those who were worried back in October and beginning of November after the Cowboys game, with the unfortunate situation with Dex and I, with my tweet about Dex not talking on his birthday, and how that was misconstrued. We're good. So thanks for all your support and all your criticism. But I think we can put that to bed. As I've told you over the last couple of months, Dex and I are good. We're good. And it was just a little bit of a miscommunication in terms of what had went down. But, you know, again, I thank him. I thank his fiance, Donna, who was there as well. And that was great to meet her. And obviously spending time with Brandon, talking boxing a little bit, talking about his son, who is a rising senior and is committed to Clemson. So that's also another connection now moving forward for Dexter and Brandon, is the Clemson connection. There were some Dabo Sweeney jokes last night. So a lot of good fun. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the interview, and we'll get more from Dex as we move along, as far as his connection to Shane Bowen and what he's learned from him and watched film. You know, it's kind of new for Dex, and he was down in Orlando for the Pro Bowl all week, so pretty busy. So other than a congratulatory text or two, there really wasn't digging deep on the Bowen system and what he did in Tennessee. But Dex promised me that, you know, that'll start in short order. And as you can hear, he's revved up and ready to go. And it's always good to see guys like Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas as your cornerstones, guys who continue to feel as though they have something to prove. So it'll be fun to watch those two guys, Andrew and then obviously Dex, moving forward. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, since we last did the show, Shane Bowen was named DC. Well, the Giants ended up coming out with some promotions for staff members. Mike Kafka is now assistant head coach and offensive coordinator. So not bad for a hostage situation with the Giants. I say that tongue in cheek and certainly don't make a flippant comment in terms of what was said about Mike Kafka and how Brian Daboll trapped him here by blocking the interview with the Seahawks to become the offensive coordinator. Let's put this to bed. I know everyone keeps going back to stories that were written, and you know, there's nuance involved here. Were there issues during the year where Brian Daboll was not happy with the offense, and that whether he took more control of the offense? Absolutely. Were there situations where they weren't happy necessarily with what Mike Kafka did or what other parts of the offense did? Sure. But that doesn't always turn into a mass exodus of coaches. And Mike Kafka wanted to explore opportunities just like he did last year. If Mike Kafka had left for a head coaching job last year, there would have never been any talk about how Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka didn't get along. The talk would have been how Brian Daboll gave Mike Kafka an opportunity that he didn't get anywhere else as offensive coordinator, gave him the opportunity to be the play caller when Daboll could have just as easily come from Buffalo and said, I'm the head coach, I'm going to call the plays. Instead, he gave Kafka the opportunity. And in year one, Kafka did a very good job. And Daboll did a very good job, obviously coach of the year in the NFL, and they made the playoffs. In year two, things did not go well. The personnel took a nosedive with injuries, and the coaches had a hard time early in the season finding any stability that carried through all year. But when you look at how the season ended, you know, they mixed and matched, and they got through the season without a complete implosion. Six wins is not good enough. They all know it. And if six wins comes up again this year, well, there's a serious talk to be had by ownership whether or not this is the right program to have in place moving forward. Until then, the Giants view Mike Kafka as an asset. Whether or not they value him as a play caller, whether Brian Daboll decides to take over the play calling, that's a question that's going to have to continue to evolve over the offseason. And the reality is that Brian Callahan got a head coaching job having never called a play in Cincinnati. Zach Taylor, the head coach, was the play caller. Brian Callahan is now the head coach in Tennessee because the offense did so well. But guess what? Brian Callahan didn't call a play. So it can be done. Mike Kafka getting serious consideration as a head coach in Seattle this year, off of the year that the Giants had, should kind of shed some light and kind of make all of us realize that these searches are not necessarily a year-to-year, what did you do this season to earn a shot in this given cycle. And Mike Kafka is viewed by a lot of people in this league as a future head coach. He's only 37 years old, and I think the Giants wanted to keep him here because they see value in having him here. This is not a trap Mike Kafka and do it out of spite. And I think that's evident by making him assistant head coach. They would not make a guy assistant head coach just to shut him up or just to change the perception from the outside that Dable's environment here is toxic. If you believe that, well then, you know what? Turn on Netflix, go find another soap opera, and go with that. I mean, that's what I'll say. I can't change your mind. I won't look to change your mind. I'll only keep it real for you. And that's the situation. Another promotion on the defensive side of the ball, passing game coordinator for Jerome Henderson. I think that's a very good situation to have Henderson work with Shane Bowen as far as a coordination aspect of it. Bowen's defenses in Tennessee were very good in the front. On the back end, they left a lot to be desired. So now you have Henderson in a promotion after he applied to be defensive coordinator. Look, Jerome Henderson and Brian Dable are very tight. Henderson was really the first coach that was kept on Dable's staff. They were out to dinner the day Dable accepted the job in North Jersey. And Henderson and Dable worked together with the Browns. They worked together with the Jets. Jerome Henderson is going to be here. And I think that's a good opportunity for this defense to keep Rome involved. Obviously, Andre Patterson staying involved is a big thing, I think, for this defensive front. Dexter Lawrence, obviously, you heard what he said. You know, he's not going to elaborate, but, you know, very happy that Andre Patterson is back. And that goes with Brian Cox as well. From my understanding, he'll be back. And I think Patterson and Cox worked very well with that unit up front. And we'll see how that transpires in the offseason with what bodies are added. Does A'shaun Robinson re-sign? Do they go elsewhere? How are some of the younger guys developing? So we'll see. That's a big spot for this defense and for this front office to figure out the personnel aspect of it. And then the last promotion was Shea Tierney, quarterback's coach. He's now the offensive pass game coordinator. That's a nice bump for him to set himself up for the next step. If Mike Kafka leaves in 2025, then Shea Tierney would be the presumed next offensive coordinator. If not, if Shea wants to look for other opportunities outside the organization as an offensive coordinator, he was interviewed as OC in Tampa at the end of the 2022 season. Let's see how that plays out. And as we're recording the show, news involving the former defensive coordinator for the Giants, Wink Martindale. According to Adam Schefter, he is in line, Wink it is, not Adam, is in line to become the next defensive coordinator at the University of Michigan. The national champs are going to take on a different look this year with Jim Harbaugh and Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator, heading to the Chargers. Is Michigan staring at probation? Well, Wink Martindale is going to be the defensive coordinator in Ann Arbor. It's certainly not the situation that anyone anticipated. I think Wink, when he left and stormed out and MF'd Brian Dable, when the Wilkins brothers were fired, that I think Wink expected to be in the NFL. I think a lot of people who had spoken to Wink believed that an NFL coordinator's job was going to happen. It did not. Look, you know, you fall upward. He overplayed his hand in the NFL, but if you're going to end up in college, you end up at Michigan, that's an opportunity where if you win this year and Wink has the kind of personality I think that college campuses will fall in love with. You're going to see if game day's at Ann Arbor, you're going to see Wink fatheads in the crowd. You know, Wink is that kind of personality. When things are going well, he's, you know, beloved. He was beloved by the Giants fan base here. And a lot of that glossed over some of the deficiencies of this defense. You know, that I talked about it in the last show. When you have a situation where everyone looks at the numbers for Shane Bowen's defense in Tennessee and says, he's a middle-of-the-pack guy. Well, almost every category, the Titans last year were better than the Giants, statistically. And yet, Wink was viewed as a huge loss, but Bowen comes in and it's almost like, well, the Giants settled for Shane Bowen. When you have someone and you buy into his personality, and certainly Wink is a good coach. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I've tried to treat the Wink situation very fairly. I know some people don't agree, don't think that, I've heard the idea of, well, you're pro Dable and against Wink. It's not necessarily the case. I'm just calling it the way I see it. And, the way this thing deteriorated with Wink Martindale with the Giants is going to kind of become a cautionary tale, not just for Brian Dable moving forward, but everything that happens for other staffs as well. And I think you saw that with the lack of overwhelming interest for Wink to be the next defensive coordinator in various spots in the NFL. I mean, look, Mike Zimmer just came back and got the defensive coordinator's job in Dallas. Everyone thought Wink Martindale should have had that job. Everyone at that time. At the time Wink left, there was the idea of, well, Wink's going to have his pick of jobs. Jacksonville and Philly and Dallas did not get any of them. And Green Bay hired Jeff Hafley, the head coach of Boston College. Yes, a Power 5 conference, but Boston College is not a powerhouse. And Hafley got that defensive coordinator's job in Green Bay, the one that Wink was going for as well. So, Wink had his famous line about how the Giants were not a stepping stone, they were a destination job. Well, it's over now. Wink is not with the Giants. They're not on the schedule this year, as far as I understand it. The Giants are not scheduling the University of Michigan. So we'll be done talking about Wink Martindale and this whole ordeal now. Maybe it goes to bed. I mean, I think there are important factors to discuss that it won't go away, because I think Brian Dable and this staff and Joe Shane and John Mara and Steve Tisch need to learn some lessons here about how this thing imploded. Dable needs to look in the mirror as well and figure out how this happened. And some of the blame is on Wink, but some of the blame is on Dable. And I think he knows that. And the next time you make your decisions as far as who you're hiring, you've got to be aware of what the fallout will be. No one ever goes into a situation saying, well, worst case scenario, what do we do? This turned out to be the worst case scenario with Wink Martindale. And it really put the Giants and Brian Dable in a bad light. That perception will continue until they start winning again. And if they don't start winning, it will be viewed through that lens of Dable's hard to work for, has an anger problem. I mean, all these things that he was the same guy in the first season and they won games. And then year two, when things go bad, everybody looks to poke a hole in what you got going on. And that's the reality. So unless the Giants turn it around on the scoreboard and in the standings, that's going to hang over Brian Dable like a black cloud. It's something that happened, and they need to deal with it. They can't run from it. As much as they'd like to try, it's become reality for a lot of people. Not me. I can see through it. But I think there will be people who view Dable as everything that Wink Martindale and his associates made him out to be. And if that becomes reality, and that is who Dable is, then this program won't get to where they think they can go. And we'll be ushering in a new head coach at some point with the Giants, whether it's next year or the year after, because if they can't escape this, then they're not going to get to where they want to be and be a successful team and a successful program. So that's where we're at. And I'll try to do a show next week. See what's going on with the Giants. We've got free agency, the combine coming up, and we'll be all over it. So appreciate you tuning in as always. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Dex and Brandon, and enjoy Super Bowl weekend. Thanks for being all in. We'll stay all in for you. Until next time.